grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Dr. John Diamond. This is the show America Unhinged, where we are fervently patriotic and unapologetically Christian. I'd like to welcome you this morning. We have a great show for you. I'll be doing probably many of my Friday shows from now on. I've had a guest host for a while, but I will, at time to time, be letting some people that we want to give a platform to come on here and dip their feet in the water and give them a chance to guest host and become part of this media revolution. This is one of the things that we're trying to do, not only just promote people that have good things, but those who want to get involved in the media revolution. We're trying to kind of lift up media churches, I guess is the only way that I could put it, get as many people out there with the voice speaking to the people as we possibly can, especially since the churches don't want to get outside the four walls themselves, typically. Then we will raise up a generation of people who do want to go out and speak to the lost and those who are not being reached with the truth. So great show for you today. Be right back after these messages.
Hello, this is Dr. Judy Mikovits, and I just so appreciate Mike Adams and Brighteon TV.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com. This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty this morning. Plus, I had to take the long route We got some snow up here in upstate Pennsylvania, and my typical route over the mountain was inaccessible. It's not that I didn't try, but I slipped and slid the whole way up and down the mountain and ultimately had to go the long way. So we got a little bit of a late start this morning. But we're going to go ahead and get started with just reminding you, Dr. Alan Keyes is available for speaking engagements. Actually, I've already got about five of them slated for him for this year. So I just got another text a little while ago. So if you'd like to get Dr. Alan Keyes out to talk about any number of issues, Declaration, Constitution, founding of the nation, his new book's going to be coming out soon. So we'll get him out here on a speaking tour. Reach out there at imtv.us. Excuse me. We're going to go ahead and just start with the scripture verse, which is really the central theme of not only my Appeal to Heaven book, but a conference that we have coming up. So we're going to go ahead and read just Luke 18:1. We'll just read, this is the parable of the persistent widow. We'll just read the first verse there, but it says, "And then the Lord spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." Now, if you understand, there's eight more verses there. That's the parable of the persistent widow. It's not only about a persistent prayer, which is really the only thing that ever gets pulled out of this scripture, is, oh, it's just about praying and not giving up. It's about much more than that. It's about a court case. It's about justice. And the widow understood how to get justice. She went to the judge and kept bugging him until he avenged her. And that's exactly what God called us to do. When our government is so corrupt and you've appealed to every possible earthly authority, we still have one court left to go to. That's the Supreme Court of Heaven. So Isaiah 33:22, that Christ is the King, lawgiver, and judge. We need to start seeing the kingdom of God as more of a seat of government rather than just a sanctuary. If we only see it as a sanctuary, we just come with praise and worship and things of that nature, which are all necessary. But the kingdom of heaven is much more a seat of government where Christ, the King, lawgiver, and judges, is ruling and reigning from. When you understand that, then your approach in prayer is going to change too, because then if you see injustice or corruption that's not being handled on this earth or is being done by the people that are supposed to be ensuring justice, now we still have one less place to go, and that is the Supreme Court of Heaven. So I'm going to be speaking at a conference next month. If the producer can go ahead and put that website up, it's pushpatriots.com. It's going to be held out in the Queens area on February 4th. From 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., one-day event. Great number of speakers that are going to be on there, and our intentions is to get several of them on the program this morning, and that's what we want to do if we can shape up some of the technical difficulties. But our first guest is actually a brother in Christ from here in Pennsylvania, from our seat of government, which is Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So, Pastor Philip Thornton, I'd like to welcome you to the program this morning.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for having me today.
So just do an introduction. Pastor Thornton is the founding pastor of the Legacy Church, Faith Church in Harrisburg. We had a nice little conversation before the show started talking about Harrisburg. And, you know, I ran for House of Representatives, so I had to make a lot of trips out to Harrisburg this past year. But you got your work cut out for you over there in Harrisburg, don't you?
Absolutely. Well, we are continuing to steadfast and hold the ground and continue to take ground. Actually, little bit by little bit, we're taking back over for sure.
And that's what we need to do. And I talked about this with another guest on the show yesterday. You know, when I didn't become a believer until I was 27. And I always wanted to live in the cities because that's where the party life was. That's where everything was. And when I became a believer, I didn't want to live in the cities anymore. So I moved deep in the country. But the thing that I come to realize is, you know, almost by a living example, the Bible talks about powers and principalities that rule over cities and things. And I think I really just felt that oppression because I lived in Columbus, Ohio, which is another seat of government. That's the capital of Columbus. You're over there. So when we see things with spiritual eyes, we have to understand there are very, very strong principalities and powers that sit over the state capitals, much more than they'd sit over some little town of 50 people, just because of everything that comes out of there, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the spiritual entities are unseen forces. Of course, in this case, the unseen forces of hell, they're doing everything they can to influence policies and decisions to perpetuate a mindset of continued unbelief and liberalism that keeps people ensnared in the traps of sin, et cetera, that exist in any region or any culture. And we have to fight against that. That's for sure.
Yeah. And then we gotta fight it in a kind of a twofold method. I think that when I was doing my Appeal to Heaven book, and I want to remind all our viewers, my book, An Appeal to Heaven, A Cry for Divine Justice, is on the website now. It's free. You can download it. You can download the audio book, or you can just listen to it from the website. But I've been in this fight for, a lot of years, Pastor, and I always find kind of two ways. You've got the people that just want to sit and pray but don't want to get boots on the ground, and then you got people who want to go out and get boots on the ground but they don't want to pray. And it really is going to take both of those to go forward. The story the Lord showed me one day was the story of David when he was going into battle. What did he say? He said, wait until you hear the sound of the rustling in the top of the mulberry trees and then go, because we need those angelic forces to go before us. If we try to go without that help, we're going to fail, but we still have to go. So I think the church is starting to understand we need both of those elements.
Well, absolutely. Dr. Diamond, I of course, as a pastor, as a leader, as somebody that's been in the ministry now for 30 plus years, it becomes evident that probably one of the number one areas that as a leader in two realms, and this is one thing that I'm going to discuss real quick, is that most people who exist are completely ignorant of the covenant that God made with them. And I just want to quickly say this, when God cut covenant with Abraham in Genesis 22, as God is finally announcing the final blessing on Abraham after he's offered Isaac, and Abraham believes God and it's accounted to him as righteousness, the Lord speaks back to him and says, surely in blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you, and I will make your descendants like the stars and like the sand. We've missed that. We've missed the fact that as born-again believers, what happens when we receive the Spirit of God, the Spirit of faith, at that instant, we have the ability to operate, as your book says, in two dimensions at the same time. We're like the stars. We have a heavenly authority, but we're also like the sand. We're in the earth. So we must operate in both dimensions at the same time. And people who miss that point never will. They'll never engage the court of heaven, or they never will continue to operate in the earth as a representative. We're in the world, not of it. And so that's just a simple truth that so many people miss, because we're the only form of creation that God gave the ability to function in two dimensions at the same time.
Yeah. And I've found the reason that a lot of people really don't understand that. I mean, the Lord told us to pray a simple prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer, and I think a lot of spiritually mature Christians think, oh, that's just a little child's prayer. No, he taught that to grown men. Right. And two elements of that was, yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth and heaven. So we're supposed to be praying the kingdom of God down to rule and reign over the kingdom of man. That's supposed to be our daily prayer. That's what I open up with every day. That's the first thing that I pray. Well, that's what Jesus said right before he gave the Great Commission. Right. All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Now I'm giving it to you. Now go. And that's where we're at. This is what I've been talking about in my church. The kingdom of God had been taken from the Jews because they were unfaithful. He gave that whole parable about the man went into a foreign country and put guys in charge. And he said the kingdom will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit. That's the church. And if we do not do what we're supposed to do, and that's operate in God's authority on this earth, then the kingdom will be taken from us and given to somebody else, because he will have it done eventually.
Absolutely. Well, just in confirmation of your opening text in Luke 18:1, men all always to pray and faint not. Well, we cannot stop praying and working until we see the kingdom of God in the earth. And unfortunately, as you are aware, so many in the Western church, they're waiting to get snatched away rather than understanding that, again, the word of the Lord is to occupy until he comes again. So yes, we're supposed to be taking over, not losing ground.
Well, that's exactly right. And then this whole social club mentality is really what's killing us. We come together 45 minutes once a week. and we think we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. This is what I've been preaching hard and heavy at my church. You know, it says go and disciple. Well, what are the two things we're not doing in Christianity? We're not going and we're not discipling. You know, I've said this on the show several times. I'll say it to you. But when I wrote my first book, I hired a lady that was a missionary in India. She was raised over there to edit the book. And I said, now that you've come back to the United States, what's your assessment of the church? And she said, well, this will probably cost me the job, but the church is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. We just sit and wait for people to come to us. Right. And that's a siege mentality. You know, I spent 8 years in the military, you know, and trained in warfare. I mean, if all you do is just retreat to your base, they're going to put you under siege. So if you're not advancing and taking ground and occupying the land, which the Bible tells us to do, if you're not occupying the land, then you're going to be under siege. And that's where the church is today. I mean, we are under siege and the government's knocking right on the doors.
Well, absolutely. And of course, so many leaders, quote unquote leaders in the body of Christ, if you can call them a leader, because a true leader has some spiritual fortitude, has some oops, but to him's going to fight back. And but as you said, you know, so many people in the body of Christ have believed the lie. You know, Jesus said, be careful that the light that is in you is not darkness, because if it is, how great is that darkness? And so many leaders in the body of Christ are not leading. They're, like you said, they're under siege. They're trying to bargain their way for the best position in the position that they have, rather than saying, no, we're children of the Most High God. God said not only occupy, but possess double in the land wherewith I've called you to possess. And so again, they've bought the lie that government has this authority over the church. No. Government does not have the authority over the church. The church is God's government in the earth. And of course, I know that's something that you have espoused completely.
Yeah, and it does really come down to a misinterpretation of Romans 13, where, you know, people are being told that it says obey your government. It doesn't say no such thing. It says let every soul, President of the United States, Congress, Supreme Court, let every soul be subject to the higher authority, for there is no authority but of God. God's the highest authority. And that's what all of us need to be submitted to. So,
funny, I mean, it's funny how unbelievers will use the word of God against believers when believers don't realize the word of God was written to them. It wasn't written to the unbeliever.
That's exactly right. And that's very, very well put. I try to emphasize that quite a bit, because, you know, you'll even hear people go, well, that wasn't written to believers. That was written to unbelievers. I'm like, there's nothing in the word of God that was written to an unbeliever. Everything was a letter to a church or, you know, something of that nature. So we really need to get back to that. We need to get over the lies. There's so many lies. I've got a series that I'm working on right now called The 12 Lies, which basically explains all the lies that we bought in, that we got to obey government. We're only called to preach the gospel. You can't legislate morality. We're not supposed to judge. I mean, all these lies that come from the outside that basically get Christians to zip their lips, you know, they bought into those. And that's what's made us so inefficient.
Absolutely. I did a series a couple of years ago called The Book of Hezekiah. I said, everybody turn to the book of Hezekiah, because it sounds like a biblical name, and it is a biblical name. They'll start looking in their Bible, not realizing there is no book of Hezekiah. And what I did was the same thing. I brought to the forefront all of the lies that people say, well, this is what the word says. No, the word doesn't say that. You got to get back to what God's word says if you're going to, as you say, govern, not only govern your own life, but walk in the government of God in the earth. So praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's great. Tell us a little bit about your church. I saw that you said you were the founding pastor out there at the Legacy Faith Church. Just kind of give us your background and where you came from to, you know, to found a church. Do you come out of a particular persuasion?
So, okay, well, real quick about me, I won't take too long, but always have to start at the beginning. January 12th, 1986, I had an encounter with God. The Spirit of God showed up in my room. At that time, I was a cocaine addict and an alcoholic, cried out on the name of Jesus, looking for help in my life. The Spirit of God filled my room. He said, Philip, I hate religion. If you follow me, I'll teach you the ways of my Spirit and use you to touch the nations of the world. So that has really been part of the mission statement of who I am, is to expose the religious spirit, how God hates religion, how religion in cultures is robbing people of their encounters with God. Number one. Number two, knowing the ways of God. The Bible says in Psalms 103, those who know the ways of Moses knew his ways and the children of Israel his acts. So as a human being, it's not impossible. It is the call of God or the will of God for us to come into and recognize and know his ways. We're not to remain ignorant of God's ways. We're to learn his ways. When you learn his ways, that's what's going to give way to the acts of God. So that led me into a life pursuit. I ended up connecting with the World Harvest Ministry Network, which was the late Dr. Lester Summerall. That has been my covering and my connection for years. I spent the better part of 4 years in Russia, China, the Philippines, all over South America, but specifically in Scandinavia and Russia, teaching in Bible schools right after the wall came down that was there. Started my first church in Georgia, moved here to the Northeast, to Delaware in the late 90s. And then 2000 started, or 1999, started commuting here to Harrisburg to teach spiritual warfare and prayer. So I did the Capital Region School of Prayer for about a year and a half. And that's when God spoke to me about moving to Harrisburg and founding and establishing the church. We established the church then. And we were originally called Church Without Walls. And now we changed the name to Legacy Faith Church about 4 years ago. And so here we are, and we're continuing to press on. And as we said, take over. We didn't come to take sides. We came to take over.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good stuff and a lot of good groups coming out of that Harrisburg area, that eastern side of the state. It's kind of ironic, you know, I'm over in the western side of the state. It actually takes me longer to get to over where you're at than it does to take me to get through Ohio and down to Kentucky. So, I mean, you know as well as I do, Pennsylvania is kind of like two halves. You got Erie and Pittsburgh on one half, and then you've got, you know, a lot of just rural all the way until you get to the Harrisburg and Scranton and everything that's on that side. And they are really two different types of states, really. I mean, you could kind of break Pennsylvania into three regions. Your side's kind of more like Jersey. Our side's more like maybe Ohio. And I think the middle of Pennsylvania is like Indiana. It's very, very rural. So we've got an entire big state that we got to try to bring back into the kingdom. Are there other groups? I know you're working with Marshall on this Push Patriots event. Is there any other groups over there in Eastern PA Eastern PA that you're working with?
That we work with pretty much regularly. Of course, like you said, here in the Capital Region, we have some global ministries that have put their roots or foundations in. But to be honest, you understand this, that unfortunately, so many that are in the body of Christ are afraid of, quote unquote, the political arena, not realizing that the political arena is the arena that the church should be dominating in.
Right.
And to go back and speak to one of your points that you made earlier about principalities and powers, you know, Pennsylvania being split, you've got the Western, you got the Eastern. Of course, the seat in the East over here is Philadelphia, even though Harrisburg is the capital.
Right.
The powers that be, of course, are coming out of the Philadelphia region. And that's where some of the ancient strongholds exist, because that's where covenants were made with God. That's where the founding fathers of our nation came into agreement with the word of God. They came into agreement with heaven. This is where the documents were signed. And of course, so it should not take us by surprise that the enemy attacked or targeted that region to now begin to influence and take over politically the atmosphere, the mindset of that region, so that these covenants that man made with God and God made with man could be if you will, affected by the powers of darkness. Now, you know, like I know, a covenant that God has made is unbreakable, but a covenant has two sides. And this is where now the church must arise. This is where the body of Christ must come back to the foundations of the true covenant, the word of God, and then understand that if we as a nation and we as a people will turn back to God, then everything that God promised in that covenant with those men and everything that those men contracted with God about, you know, we come back to the state of Pennsylvania and the famous quote of William Penn himself, that God would make it the seed of a nation, that it would be a holy experiment, that God would do this work that would be a precedent to the nations, that men might see that God is holy, just and good. I know I didn't quote it exactly, but the fact of the matter is that's a promise. That was a prophetic decree. It still maintains power. A couple of years ago, God spoke to me and said, Philip, the time has come that I will begin to harvest ancient seed. And of course, you're as a man of God are familiar with John chapter 4, where when Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work, he said, I have sent you to reap wherein you bestowed no labor. And so the work that needs to be finished is the church, the body of Christ, entering into the seed, the ancient harvest fields, and begin to reap what it is. Well, the only way we can do that, of course, is number one, if we're not ignorant of what we're going after, we know what we're going to reap. We're making our stand and continuing to hold fast to what God said. And again, your opening passage there, and that we do not faint. We don't give up. We keep pressing. And this is the challenge for all of us. But to answer your question, unfortunately, there are not a lot of organized groups within, quote unquote, the body of Christ that are willing to engage in the battle. So as you found, we're having to find, like David, those that are coming and meeting up in the cave of Adullam that have gone through some battles. They've gone through some wars. They might have felt like they got beat up in the past or whatever, but they're holding fast. And God is now connecting them together for the advancement of the kingdom of God in the days that we live in. We live in a set time. And when we receive that and possess it, not only in faith, but also now begin to take on the assignments naturally, like the stars, like the sand, that's where we're going to now begin to have a great effect. But so in one way, it's kind of like we're in the cave of Adullam. We're here, we're gathering. And God is raising up, gathering the right people for the right place. I have many people in our congregation that are here that are very active and very aggressive spiritually and naturally in order to take over what they can. School boards and community centers, and they're running for offices, etc. And like I said, it's step by step. The biggest issue, in my opinion, is that we've got to continue to pray that corruption is uncovered and exposed at the highest levels, because things are being shifted and changed and robbed. And of course, God hates this. God's against it. And so anyhow, this is, again, part of where we're at. So praise the Lord.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I want to follow up with you when we come back after this break on some things that you just said. So everybody else, we'll be right back after this break.
Hello, this is Dr. Judy Mikovits, and I just so appreciate Mike Adams and Brighteon TV and giving us a voice back as he's provided us the opportunity to talk. We're coming here from Anaheim, Pennsylvania, in the Clay Clark Reawaken America. So thank you, Brighteon TV, and Mike, appreciate you.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. Brighteonstore.com.
At the Brighteon Store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com. This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now, post your videos today, and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
Please go over there and download that free ebook, An Appeal to Heaven, A Cry for Divine Justice. We've made that available for free, both on ebook. We've made it available on audio, or you can listen to it from the website. What we're talking about here is vitally important because this is the answer. This is the answer to saving this nation, and or any nation for that matter. The appeal to heaven doesn't necessarily just apply to America. It is applied to every nation throughout history to go and clear back to Exodus. I mean, the appeal to heaven is what the children of Israel used to break themselves out of slavery. And that's that's where it started. Our founding fathers used it to break away from a tyrannical government. I mean, the appeal to heaven thing works every time if we just get back to the ancient past. I think the scripture we used yesterday was about returning to the ancient past. And that's where I want to pick up with Pastor Philip, because he started talking about that is getting back to the seed, getting back to the root. Pastor Philip, I want to bring you back in, and I want to just mention real quick the importance of Pennsylvania. I don't think a lot of people understand the importance of Pennsylvania. I mean, it's called the Keystone State. The covenants were made here in Philadelphia. And so I think it's one of the most attacked cities, you know, spiritually oppressed cities in the nation. I think probably number three behind Washington, D.C. and New York City, you know, because D.C. is where all the law comes out of. New York City is where Wall Street is and where all the money and everything is. Philadelphia, I think we got like a triad there of three cities that we really need to try to take back spiritually.
Well, I agree completely. You know, part of the previous conversation was talking about how the enemy has targeted actually all three of those metropolitan centers because they have become the seat of government or the seat of commerce. I could go on for days about this, but going back to the statement that you just made about returning to the ancient past, you know, the Bible is very clear. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there are principles in God's word that should the men and women of God recognize and enact these principles, we will then begin to see the power of God come again. As you said, the appeal to heaven, when the children of Israel groaned, when God heard their cry, right? He raised up Moses to deliver the children of Israel. He remembered his covenant with Abraham. Right. So it was God remembering his covenant with Abraham that caused him to search out a Moses. Well, God never forgets his covenant. And so, like I said earlier, Philadelphia was the seat where the covenants came into being. They were written down. The men came together before God and submitted themselves before heaven to get the wisdom, the plan, and the purpose of God. And they wrote down the covenant. They signed their names to it, and they presented it as their petition before heaven. God accepted that petition, and thus the nation began to unfold under the covenant that was established. This is what we have to get back to. And again, coming back to the importance of the state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, it's not just some cute name to be called the Keystone State, but a keystone, the key, of course, and we all recognize this, but this keystone is going to lock or unlock literally the move of God throughout this nation because of what, as you said, what comes from government, from policy, from the men and women who are in charge will affect every arena. Simple principle, Psalms 133, it's like the precious oil that flowed down upon the head of Aaron. So the anointing, the authority of heaven flows down. It comes down upon the head. And what believers unfortunately don't recognize is who we elect as leaders over us, what is on their heads come down upon the people. And this is why the enemy is doing everything he can to consistently perpetuate rulers or wicked leaders. When the wicked are in authority, the people languish. And that's what's happening in America right now. So we as the people have to fight. We have to not only believe, it's not just prayer, but like you said, it's going to be boots on the ground, and it's going to get the people of God back into positions of authority who understand anointing and power so that that anointing can flow. We got a lot of work to do, but God is a master at redeeming the time. God is a master at doing a quick work. Isaiah 62:10, go through the gates and prepare the way of the people. 62:13, God's work is before him and his reward is with him. And so I believe that we can see this, but it's not going to happen just because we sit passively by, but it's going to happen as the recruiting in faith is drawing men and women of the Spirit. And even really, as I'm going to say, it's time to awaken the men. The men have stood on the sidelines and allowed the women to carry the spiritual weight in our nation. That's not an indictment against anything. It's just an awareness that it's time now for some people to get back engaged in the fight. You'll never win unless you engage.
Yeah, exactly right. I want to kind of wrap up what you were talking about there, and then we're going to bring our next guest on. You know, when I wrote my first book, Fighting the Next American Revolution, back in 2006, the illustration that I gave was, you know, if we're on an island and I have 50 acres and you have 50 acres, and that's written down in a deed, and over a period of hundreds of years, you can systematically take land from me till I got like 5 acres and you got 95. All I have to do is go to court and tell the judge, look, I have the legally binding document saying where my property is. This is what the federal government has done. They have stolen so much power from the people, and we have the legal authority to take that back. And when they won't respect that, we still got a court in heaven that will rule in our favor. So we have everything in our favor other than just the ignorance of the law. Now, the event that I was telling everybody about here that's coming up in February out in Queens, New York, if the producer can put that up again, pushpatriots.com. This is being put on by a good friend of mine. Marshall finally made it over, and I see his camera on now. So, Marshall, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Diamond. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm just sitting here watching you just nodding and praising God for everything Pastor Phillip's saying and everything that's going on there. Let's talk about, we got a little about 13 minutes left. Talk to us about this, if the producer can put that up, the Prayer Prophets and Patriots Conference that is taking place out in Jamaica, New York, which I understand is the Queens area.
Yes, it is. Prayer Prophets and Patriots on February 4th at the Harvest Room in Jamaica, New York. being presented by myself and Pastor Gwen Joseph of New Life House of Prayer and Deliverance. Yes, it's a time for us to come together here in New York to hold the line and to push. And the acronym PUSH really came from my mentor, Dr. Mary Crowley, which is pray until something happens. So basically what we're doing is exactly what you gentlemen both said, is that we're not only praying, but we're taking action. We're holding the line and we're boots on the ground. Because what I saw here in New York City was that, you know, a lot of the patriotic tours and conferences weren't coming to New York City because, as you both know, there are several cities that are stronghold cities, you know, that the enemy is literally really just trying to destroy. It's, you know, not only New York, it's Chicago, it's, you know, Philadelphia, it's Michigan. And, you know, we as a people of God, we have to come together and pray. We have to inform the people and empower the people.
We know California is basically fully taken over by the enemy, you know, and you've got, like you said, Chicago. It's weird because Illinois is not. It's just the Chicago area. But unfortunately, Chicago basically rules the rest of Illinois. It's the same with Pennsylvania where we're at. I mean, most, you know, Philadelphia basically rules Pennsylvania. And that's the sad thing. We were talking about this with Philip earlier that, you know, before the 17th Amendment, the direct election of senators, you know, what we just had here with Oz and Fetterman and everything else. Before that, before the 17th Amendment, the people didn't elect their senators. All their representatives chose the senator. So when you look at Pennsylvania, I mean, we've got 30 more representatives than we've got, you know, blue. Red outranks blue, but it doesn't matter because Philadelphia basically chooses our governor and chooses our senator, rather than the way it was with almost like an electoral college system where all, you know, our representatives. So the senator worked for the representatives and the senator went off the plantation. Boy, they got recalled, right? Well, that's not the way it is now. Now the senators are bought and paid for by these big special interest groups. You got millions and millions of dollars coming in from states that aren't even Pennsylvania to help these senators get elected. So what you're doing over there, and I think it's just really, really part of God's plan, is right there in that Queens area. And as Pastor Philip said, the body of Christ really needs to focus on D.C. spiritually. Focus on D.C., New York City, and Philadelphia, I think, are the three big kind of linchpins that are, if we can take these back over, we're gonna restore the ancient path.
And it's amazing that you're saying that, Dr. Diamond. Now, this is the future, because I really do believe, you know, that God has given this unto me to have these conferences here in New York City, you know, because we have to hold the line here and we have to push back against this demonic agenda. And I believe that we have an obligation to awaken the populace to what is going on. And I believe that that starts with the body of Christ. But I say that to say, and it is coming, when God gives it to me at the appropriate timing. He already gave me a working title for an event called Coast to Coast that's going to involve all of the stronghold states of select cities. Like I said, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Michigan, you know, wherein, and it basically just started, you know, the genesis of it started with, you know, seeing what the Jerry Lewis telethon was doing, like where if he would be in the studio here in New York and then he would get on the microphone and say, okay, now, let's go to Los Angeles and see what's going on over there. So it's going to have the, so I'm going to see how God is going to, you know, orchestrate this. But the same premise of, you know, having the same event starting at the same time in multiple locations, but having the leaders of faith at the forefront to push back and to trample upon all the serpents and the scorpions of the enemy. Because we have to stand up, declare God's word, and let the enemy know, no, not on our watch. You're not going to take America.
Yeah, and I think that is really a divine strategy there, because as you were talking, you know, I was thinking a lot of times we'll have these events where, you know, it just happens in D.C. Well, if it's only happening in D.C., then the enemy can send all his spiritual forces to combat that. But if we had a similar thing going on in Chicago and New York and in Philadelphia and L.A. and, you know, all these battleground areas, even from a veteran, I can tell you that spreads the enemy out. That weakens his forces. If he can consolidate his forces in one spot, the battle's easier for them. But if we spread out our forces, you know, the enemy only has a third of the fallen angel. Only a third of them fell. So he's got limited resources that he can put into the battle. So if we spread that out nationwide and we get groups of people in each and every one of these, I mean, what you're talking about, we already did on election night. We had the event held right there in Brighteon headquarters, but then we had people from all over the nation come in. So I think that's a God-organized strategy that you got there, and I would love to follow up with you and help you. You know, you probably have Mary Crowley in L.A. because she's already over there. You're in New York. We've got our brother Philip here that we can deal with the Philadelphia area. We need to find somebody maybe in Chicago, maybe somebody down in Atlanta. I think this is of God, and I look forward to helping you with this.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen. So, do you, just off the top of my head, and I'm just trying to think of the Patriots that I know and the Christians. Again, we've got the east side of Pennsylvania taken care of. I think Atlanta and, like you said, Michigan and Chicago, I think those are three that we'd really need to focus on. So we need to be praying about finding some spiritual leaders in those three areas that help bring this together.
Amen. Amen. And already in Michigan, we know of two, Pastor Smith, Pastor Bernadette Smith, who is a prominent voice in Michigan, her and her husband.
Well, good. See, and that's the thing that I recognize. I guess that's one of the kind of silver linings about COVID is, you know, the people that lived in these primarily blue states, you know, New York City, Michigan, they really, see, I wrote this in my first book. I said, America is no longer America. America is an atheistic, communistic, totalitarian police state wrapped in an American flag as a facade. And nobody wanted to believe that. And I show, you know, every constitutional provision that was set between us and the government was removed. It would only take one event for everybody to realize. And boy, New York City felt the full effect of that. Michigan, you know, they wouldn't even let people go out and garden. I mean, the tyranny is here and the tyranny is real. And that's what the church doesn't understand. That's why I appreciate what Pastor Philip was talking about. Jesus talked about tyranny. You know, when he was walking down the road and they're like, hey, we want to be great. And he's like, no, if you're a servant of the kingdom, you're servant of all. He said, the kings of this world want to have tyranny, right? So you got two spirits, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Christ is about freedom and liberty. The spirit of Antichrist is about oppression and death. And I think we're really waking up to that as a nation right now.
Amen. Amen.
Well, good. Pastor Phil, let me bring you back in just to comment. We got a little under 4 minutes left. Comment on what we just said there.
Well, I'm glad you brought me back in. The Lord had prompted this in my spirit, but this is Job chapter 27 out of the Message translation, or maybe it's the Passion translation. But it says, this is what God has waiting for the wicked person. This is the inheritance that tyrants will receive from the Almighty. You just talked about the tyrants and the tyranny. And I believe that you're exactly right, that the tyrannical or tyrant spirit is being exposed and uncovered. But this is what he says about the tyrants. They will fall. If they have many children, swords will kill them, and their descendants will not have enough food. Those who survive him will be buried by a plague, and their widows will not mourn them. Though he collects silver like dust and piles up clothing like dirt, righteous people will wear what he piles up, and the innocent will divide the silver among themselves. And it goes on and talks about that. But the fact of the matter is that, see, I believe that in the awakening of the righteous, as we continue to pray and cry out, we're the ones in the appeal to heaven that say, all right, God, it's time for you to work. And as your work is before you and your reward is with you, Lord, we're decreeing that today, in this year, that the reward of tyrants worldwide will begin to be meted out from heaven.
Amen.
That they will be removed from positions, sudden calamity and destruction. I know a lot of people don't want to pray like this, but this is Bible prayer. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it, studying it, and trying to do my best to follow what God says. And so again, Psalms 109, let another take their office, let their days be few. And so as we pray, we also need to expect and then do our part to position ourselves to bring about the spiritual coup, if you will, in these cities and in these regions. But of course, as we all know, a true move of God cannot happen corporately until it happens individually.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what my Appeal to Heaven book is all about, because, you know, it's Psalms 2. Why do the nations rage? The kings of the earth and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. You know, let us break their bonds from us. You know, what did the founding fathers of our faith do? They went in the upper room, and what did they pray? They prayed Psalms 2. The kings of the earth are rebelling against God. And that's what we have, that spirit of Antichrist that says we are God. And we don't have a Lord or a master above us. So, man, we could go on for hours about this. Pastor Phil, I definitely appreciate you coming on the program this morning. Marshall, we got about 50 seconds left. Can you just tell us real quick where to find you guys?
Yes, you go to www.pushpatriots.com. Also want to let the audience know that we have an early bird special. You get your tickets before the curtain goes up on this. You get them for $50. We also have a raffle included as well, where we're going to have some skincare line products donated by one of our speakers, Pastor Lee Valentine, and also Dr. Mary Crowley as well. This is one event that you don't want to miss.
Amen.
Together, and I believe that what we're going to do is bombard heaven.
Amen, brother. Hey, appreciate having you both on the show. Everybody else, you have a good weekend, and we will see you next week. God bless.